Hello, my name is Peter Sushitsky, and I was director of photography on this movie, Existence. It's my fifth movie with David Cronenberg. We met prior to shooting Dead Ringers some 12 years ago. And we met because the director of photography, he had worked with up till then, had decided to move down to Los Angeles after the success of The Fly. So he was casting his net about, looking for somebody, and he had a short list. I was on the short list. We met and got on very well. And the rest has been sheer pleasure for me. It's been the most fruitful cooperation of my career. We got on extremely well from the very beginning and found that we understood each other's approach instinctively and found that we didn't need to verbalize a tremendous amount. Both of us work very instinctively, and although David's a very verbal person by nature, we find that we can work with a minimum amount of discussion and arrive at the right conclusion really quite rapidly. Every film has been a different experience for me. Every film has required a slightly different approach. Every film has been very different as an experience, and was no less so than the others. Usually in David's films, there's a requirement for a certain amount of special effects, sometimes more, and sometimes less than others. This film required a small number of special effects from the camera point of view, really not much. The special effects in the film are more on the lines of things that had to be built to function in front of the camera. On other films, we've had to do more visual effects in camera. This particular film posed other kind of challenges rather than the special effects challenges.
One word, small e, capital X, capital Z. Existence. It's new, it's from Antenna Research, and it's here. Right now. We encourage consumer loyalty, and we want you to help us with our product testing. We're a team, Antenna and you. Those of you who have come to our invited seminars before will know that I normally lead the group.
This first scene takes place in a set which was built in the studio, set that represents a country church. We filmed it in a kind of warehouse situation, not a proper studio, which presented quite a few problems for me and for Carol Spear, the production designer. She, in order to build the set as large as David Cronenberg suggested he would need it, she ended up by having to build the walls of the set right up to the studio roof, the so-called studio. So we were very cramped for a place in which to put lights out of sight. I usually try to light a set mostly from the floor, and not very much of my lighting gets put above the set because I try to avoid that, because I always find that putting lots of lamps above the set tends to make it look like an old-fashioned studio lighting setup. However, in this case, I had to put a certain amount of my lights out of the way above the set, and they were only just out of frame all the time.
It's an entirely new game system. And,
I also found that I had a conceptual problem with this particular set, in that it felt just like an open space with not too much shape in it. Carol had given it beautiful textures, wonderful colors. She has a great eye for textures and colors. We have 12. But I found this quite a difficult set to handle, to make it look interesting.
12 volunteers who will port into these slave units with the game pod goddess herself.
Okay, if I pick you out, hold it! Not so fast.
Oh, geez, right. And I'll tell you what to do after. You, sir. Oh, God, I'm not late, am I? Did I miss the port in?
It's just the first wave. You can be part of the second wave.
You, guide the back with the gray hair. You, sir, this lady here. Just come up. Thank you.
Noel Dichter?
Yes.
Put your arms up, I have to scan you.
Is a weapons check?
More for recording devices. A lot of money invested in these games, Noel.
Our assistants will then help you to port your pod into your bioports, using Antenna Research's new...
What's in this case?
Oh, I brought my game.
You'll probably know, if you've seen some of David Cronenberg's films before, that the world, or the universe that he describes, the universe which his characters inhabit in his scripts and his films, is always a very particular one, a very strange one for a lot of people. Somewhere beyond reality, but always rooted in reality. And generally his feeling is that the visual side of his films, that is the photography and the sets, should be very well grounded in reality. In the past, once or twice, I have suggested that it might be interesting to do something quite extreme with the production design or with the photography. And his reply has always been that the rest of the movie is going to be so strange that he feels that visually the world in which the characters are seen to live in, that is the rooms they walk about in, the apartments they live in, should look real. So we've never adopted a really extreme visual approach.
Most of her time alone in a room designing her games. I think she'd like it best if she never had to show them to anybody.
Demoness Allegra Geller.
No!
Dead to Antenna Research!
Be more of them. Go on.
Me, take her?
We have enemies in our own house. Trust no one. Trust no one.
Help!
responsible for you. You're supposed to come with me.
As our characters are discovered inside the vehicle, the Land Rover vehicle, they suddenly find themselves in a strange environment. And it's one of the most unusual looking scenes in the film. It takes place at night in countryside, and we thought long and hard about how to approach this scene, because obviously if you take your characters into the countryside in a vehicle and shoot for real, you wouldn't see very much apart from their faces. You wouldn't see the road, much of the road, or the landscape. And we felt we wanted to see a bit more. So we lit upon the following idea, that we would film the dialogue scene in the studio in very much the way that it was done in the 30s and 40s and into the 50s. The vehicle in the studio and rear projection for the countryside. So before the movie started in production, we took our cameras into the countryside in an open vehicle and shot many angles for what we call the background plates. And I decided to shoot them day for night, an old technique. And to print them so that they would come out looking very blue, which is what you see here. We didn't expect it to look realistic. We tried to match our camera angles, the angles at which we shot the background plates, to match what we thought would be the camera angles in the vehicle. That's rather important to do very carefully, otherwise the vehicle won't look as though it's going in a straight line. But for the rest of it, we didn't expect the scene to look really real, but it suited, we thought it would suit the strangeness of the universe in which they were traveling. Are they in the game, or are they in reality? We don't know at this stage, but I think that the technique we used paid off quite well. And I'm still at a loss to think of a better way of doing it.
So we can have an intimate moment together.
Suddenly, we're outside the vehicle with a very violent color change, which is quite intentional on my behalf.
Okay. Okay.
A sudden change of mood, a great contrast. We filmed this as a thunderstorm seemed to threaten imminently to break over our heads and rain to pour down on us. So we were under some pressure to finish this before we got rained out.
Tooth.
Let me see that weirdo pistol. Yep. The bullets are human teeth. This one's got a cavity.
That thing was designed to get past any kind of metal or synthetics detector. It's all flesh and bone.
I suppose the smaller caliber pistols would have to fire baby teeth. The tooth fairy could go into the arms business.
This shot coming up now was going to be somewhat different from the way it appears in the film, so we ordered ourselves a crane and a remote remote-operated camera head, so we thought we'd want to end up high in the air. But when we came to look at the shot, it seemed to work out much better on the ground like this. And then we cut to the inside of the motel, which is a small set in the studio, with no particular technical challenges in front of me, except just artistic ones.
Where were you just now?
I was wandering through existence. The new system, I mean. I like it in there. Of course, without another player, you're only a tourist. It's frustrating.
Why won't you let me contact Antenna? They gotta be going crazy wondering what's happened to you. I mean, it's not like we've done something wrong. We just ran because we didn't know how many of them there were, right? I think we owe it to Antenna to let them know you're all right. And to get them to send somebody to help you who knows what he's doing. It says, I can't just keep doing this, whatever it is, you know, forever. Not having any idea when it's going. Hey! What are you doing?
Where's your bioport? Oh, don't tell me you've never been fitted. I can't believe it.
No, I was never fitted with a bioport. What do you care?
Well, you want to get into the biz and you've never played one of my games? You've never played any game.
Look, I've been dying to play your games. But I have this phobia about having my body penetrated surgically. You know what I mean.
No, I'm not sure that I do.
Getting a bioport fitted. I don't know. Can't do it. It's too freaky. Makes my skin crawl.
They just pop your spine with a little hydro gun. They shoot the port plug into it.
They do it at malls. It's like getting your ears pierced.
Yeah, sure, with only an infinitesimal chance of permanent spinal paralysis. I've read all about it.
Hey, it's your chosen profession.
Besides, once you're ported, there's no end to the games you can play.
You can't seriously want to play games now. Not here, not while we're being hunted down by crazy people.
My baby here took a huge hit in the church, Pykel. When those umbi cords got ripped out of her. Ripped out of her. Just as the game architecture was being downloaded from her to all those slave pods. That's a very vulnerable time for her. She could be crying out for help right here, right now. The only way I can tell if the game's not been contaminated. The pod is not about to be crippled for life because of my negligence. It's to play existence with somebody friendly. Are you friendly? Or are you not?
Sure. All right. Let's do it. Let's do it now. Let me see. To get an illegal, unregistered bioport installed at about midnight, we just drive up to your local country gas station, right?
And here we have a crane shot filmed with a remote operated camera head. This sort of shot would not so long ago have been filmed on a heavy crane with the camera operator sitting up there. The camera operator in the case of David Cronenberg's films is always myself. We long ago agreed that the films are intimate enough and the atmosphere is a sort of family atmosphere on his films. They're relaxed enough for me to be able to operate the camera myself, and I feel much more comfortable doing that. One disadvantage for the cameraman with the remote-operated camera is that you can never really look through the camera, or you can try to get a ladder close to it, but the camera usually ends up too high to get the ladder up there. So you have to try, the cameraman has to try to imagine the rest of the shot and look very carefully at the video to make sure that there's nothing embarrassing in the shot, like a lamp or a flag stand.
You changed my life.
What was your life like?
And here we find ourselves, the interior, a real garage interior on location.
I operated a gas station.
One of the really interesting sets on the film. I mean, all the sets are interesting in the film, but with all the old gearboxes and junk and textures, I enjoyed myself thoroughly in this set. Although it had its problems in that everything was covered in thick layers of oil, grease, and dust, making the working conditions a little bit tough from time to time.
Okay. Here we go.
Those are sterilized.
I tried to make the characters walk through shadows into light from time to time to add interest and drama to the scene.
It's a mental thing. Helps me focus. The one thing you don't want to do is...
Funny thing about light is that you don't really appreciate it until you have shadows. So I often end up with a forest of flags to produce the shadows that I like to introduce into some of the scenes. And coming up shortly is a scene with a creature that's partially CGI in some shots, that's computer generated, and partially a puppet. And in one shot it's a puppet which was manipulated by rods which were then removed in post-production, and in one of the other shots it's a computer-generated image, and I think they match perfectly. I allow Jennifer Jason Leigh to walk in almost into the dark at one point as she walks away from the gas pumps, and you just sense the countryside in the darkness beyond her. You're not sure what lies beyond, whether it's menacing or not. Now, this is a CGI, computer-generated creature, and a computer-controlled camera that dolled in.
See? That didn't hurt, did it?
I didn't expect that to hurt. I expect the next part to hurt.
When we next come back to the exterior of the gas station, the creature that you'll see is going to be a puppet manipulated by rods and manipulated by hand, and then all the rods were removed later on in post-production. Here it is now.
Thank you.
shot is very close, so I had to light it with sufficient light so we could stop down to get sufficient depth of focus.
Jeez.
What's going on, Gas?
Hell, he's acting like I'm attacking him. People usually pay me to do this, you know.
Yeah? All two of them. As you can see, I've decided not to have a bioport installed.
This is it, you see. This is the cage of your own making, which keeps you trapped and pacing about in the smallest possible space forever. Break out of your cage, Michael. Break out now. The swelling doesn't last for long. Tomorrow you won't even notice it.
I love it. Great. What's going on? I can't move my legs.
The procedure comes with its own epidural. Just like when you have a baby. Kind of like instant paralysis from the waist down. That's why it didn't hurt you. It'll wear off in no time. I'm gonna go wash up. You two, make yourselves at home.
We don't have to wait for the swelling to go down.
You're gonna pour it into me while I'm paralyzed?
You wanted to play my game, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I do, but here, now?
It's an instant-on world, isn't it?
What's that for? Feels cold.
New ports are sometimes a bit tight. Wouldn't want to hurt you.
How come bioports don't get infected? I mean, they open right into your body.
Listen to what you're saying, Michael. Don't be ludicrous.
Don't you think you could call me Ted?
Maybe afterwards.
We decided to adopt one stylistic approach as far as the filming was concerned, and that was we decided to film everything on one lens. The 27mm lens to give the David felt that would give the film some kind of unified look. And it was an interesting challenge because one doesn't always film close-ups on a relatively wide lens, although on other movies with him I've by choice of my own choice sometimes shot close-ups on a 21mm lens, but sometimes one instinctively wants to reach for a longer lens, and we resisted that and decided to keep to the one lens, the 27mm lens, in everything. And very often we decided to compose shots so that they would be slightly uneasy. Perhaps not the very ones we're looking at now, but sometimes you'll see in the film that we put a close-up with the person right on the edge of screen looking out of what we call the short side of the screen, just to unbalance things slightly.
That's the only version that exists?
It's the only one, and it's stuck inside, and it's your fault.
I've devoted 5 of my most passionate years to this strange little creature. And I've never regretted it, Pykele. Because I knew it was the only thing that could give my life any meaning.
Allegra. Why is it my fault? I'm telling you, I didn't. I did not neural surge. I didn't. I didn't feel any surging.
It's not your fault. It's my fault.
Oh, no, Gas, not you.
I wouldn't try to use that bioport again, except maybe for a toast or something.
What's going on?
You're worth a lot of money if you're dead.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. It's all over the countryside. $5 million for her dead body. No questions asked.
But she changed your life.
Yep. And now I'm gonna change hers.
Why did you install a bad port into me?
Seems there's a big bonus for killing Allegra Geller's latest game, or whatever it is. I think I just did that, didn't I?
Can you kill me, Gas? Can you kill a person? Can you do that? Hide my body? Contact the crazies? Trust them to pay up? Hand over my now decaying, fucking grotesque corpse. Really expect them to hand over 5 mil cash? Hey, don't you ever go to the fucking movies?
I like your script. I want to be in it.
To kill you.
Yep.
It's 2 people in one day who wanted to actually kill you.
I've never been more popular.
Allegra, we need help.
You're right. I've got to get this pod fixed.
We're going skiing. Hey. Hey. Look at that huge bug. It's got 2 heads.
This exterior scene was done just before shooting a night exterior on the same day. The night exterior, which almost ends the film. We left over this shot of the creature until the very end of the movie when we did that close-up of the creature in the studio. In fact, all we filmed was the empty hood of the vehicle, and I put some shadows on it. And the creature there is computer-generated. This is the very first shot that we filmed in the movie and the first scene in the movie. First scenes are always difficult because you're getting used to the way in which you're going to shoot the whole film. You have to establish a style right from the very first moment and try to keep to it. So the first day in the first shot has everybody feeling just a little bit nervous and on edge, however long we've, in this particular case, known each other.
I'm so pleased and so astonished to see you here.
This set was built in our studio. It presented far fewer problems than the church set because it was smaller, basically, and I had plenty of room to put lights outside windows and simulate a daylight scene. In the background, you'll see we placed trees and a painted backdrop in the studio, and I think generally you'll feel. I feel that we made quite a convincing day interior in the studio here. Nothing unusual about that. It's done all the time, but it's sometimes not so easy to do.
And have them send some people over to come collect you.
No, Kiri, don't. You mustn't let anybody know that we're here. I can't be sure that antenna is completely safe for me.
I understand, yes. You know, you can hide out in one of the guest chalets as long as you like. And I'll make sure you get fresh towels.
And make sure I don't lose everything I have in here.
You bet. Kesenem, kesenem, kesenem. Vishniyadamha.
Take that. Good. Pull this back.
What did you port into?
Peigel's bioport.
Really? That's what caused all the damage?
It was a flawed installation. My first.
Well, it fried a lot of very expensive neural webbing. You see?
Looks like an animal in there. Feels like you're operating on somebody's pet dog.
I told you, Landry, we had become glorified veterinarians.
Put a little in there, please.
The existence game pod is basically an animal, Mr. Peigel. It's grown from fertilized amphibian eggs stuffed with synthetic DNA. Only antenna research has this.
Well, where do the batteries go?
Very funny.
He's not kidding. He's a total PR nerd. Ports into you. You're the power source. Your body, your nervous system, your metabolism, your energy. You get tired, run down, it won't run properly.
Okay. Landry, he will finish up the pod work. Now, let's get that nasty bioport after you put nice fresh one in there.
Oh, shh. It hurts. I think it's infected.
No, it's not infected. It's just excited. Wants action.
But I really don't think that I want action. Me, I mean. The bearer of the excited bioport.
My baby here has now taken three major hits, Peigel. One in the church, one in the gas station, and one on their operating table. The only way I can tell if everything's okay is to play existens with somebody friendly. Are you friendly or are you not?
You're telling me this thing will run off my body's energy?
That's how they work. See? You're humming along already. Okay. Existence. Only from antenna. Here we go.
You got a bit of an unfair advantage, don't you? How can I possibly compete with the designer of the system?
Well,
we always try to run some camera tests, some makeup tests, and actors, not exactly actors tests because the actors are cast by then, but we always spend a day putting the actors in the clothes they're going to wear and making them up and doing a few tests on film And in the case of this film, we did that and managed to test shoot the pods, which feature so strongly in the movie, to see how the surface of the material reacted to make sure that it would look like flesh. And I tried different colors of gels in front of the lamps to see what effect that would have and whether any color would be prohibited in the sense that it might make the flesh of the pod look artificial. But it stood up extremely well to all kinds of colors. Just like me. This particular scene here has more color in it than any that I've filmed with David Cronenberg, with the neon lights and the colored, brightly colored packs. I tend to prefer sets and costumes which have a limited range of color. But in this case, as there were so many colors in the set, I decided to sometimes add to them by color gels to echo colored gels in front of my lights, which would echo the effect of the neon lights.
That reminds me. What precisely is the goal of the game that we're playing now?
You have to play the game to find out why you're playing the game. It's the future, Paykel. You'll see how natural it feels.
Look at this. Can this be the future too? Ever see anything like this before?
These are delicate. You got to be careful.
Yes, I can imagine.
Cortical systematics is the latest and the hottest. Not just a new game, but a new system.
Will it work with an industry standard bioport?
I'm Darcy Nader. Welcome to Darcy Nader's Game Emporium. Is there anything I can be helping you with?
We're just looking.
I have what you're looking for. Who sent you?
It's none of your business who sent us. We're here. That's all that matters.
The scene we're looking at now takes place in what was an afterthought of a set. Carol Spear managed to dress a room which we found in half in panic because we had no set for it. It was a very small room, one of the smallest sets I've ever had to film in, and it appears several times in the movie with a lot of dialogue in it, many shots. So usually if the set is this small, it's because the scene is short and it's everybody considers, well, because the scene is short, we can afford to do it in such a small set. In this case, there are long scenes with lots of dialogue in an extremely small location. I couldn't see how I was going to vary the look of it from scene to scene to start with. I decided to change the color of the windows, suggesting that light was coming in from the outside. From scene to scene, you'll see that the windows move from red to blue to green without any logical explanation. I checked this with David to see how he'd feel about it, and he grasped the idea enthusiastically. We both felt there was no need for any logical explanation, as we were in such a strange world.
We were waiting.
All the characters were in such a strange world here.
These micropods to download your new identities.
But each time we had to move the camera, it was a struggle. Everything had to be cleared out. We'd move the camera, and then all the props would be put back. The The room couldn't have measured more than 10 by 10. Well, it's slightly longer than it's wide, so perhaps it was 10 feet wide by 14 feet long. No size at all by the time you get the camera in and the crew and the actors. We couldn't move without falling over each other and stepping on each other's toes.
Looks a little different, but it's there.
It's just fortunate that we all get on extremely well.
Yes. We both have bioports.
Port. Port in. And this will tell you all you need to know. For now. I'm going to leave while you two finish up here, because it wouldn't be good for us all to be seen together.
I assume that Nader is our entry point into the game.
Yeah, kind of disappointing.
Nader?
Yeah, he's not a very well-drawn character. His dialogue was just so-so. His accent.
Yeah.
Okay. Pods are so small, they plug directly into the bioport. Okay. Oh, God.
What happened?
The whole pod just disappeared into your back.
It disappeared into my back? It's in my spine. It's working its way around my spinal cord.
Don't panic. It's just a game. Do you feel anything yet?
No, I don't. Not a thing. I don't feel a thing. Do you want me to do you?
Yeah.
In this part of the scene, you can, perhaps without realizing it, those windows have suddenly changed color. The actress's back here is a false back, of course, but I think absolutely convincing. She wears it. It's an extra layer which she wears with enough space. Behind it so that the pod can be sucked in.
Characters are obviously supposed to jump on each other. It's most probably an pathetically mechanical attempt to heighten the emotional tension of the next game sequence. No use fighting it.
What about our new identities? Do you feel yours yet?
They'll take care of themselves.
I'm very worried about my body.
Yeah, what?
Where are our real bodies? Are they all right? What if they're hungry? What if there's danger?
Don't sweat. your senses are still operating. You're gonna pop right out of the game if there's a problem.
And now we are in the set that was called the Trout Farm, referred to in the script as the Trout Farm. A large hut with lots and lots of windows, much to the distress of the production department, because I announced to them that we would have to be able to light through every single window, since we expected to be filming daytime scenes well after dark. And when we counted up the number of windows, the producer clutched his head in despair at the number of lamps that would be required to shoot this, the scenes that take place in this set. I did suggest shortening the set with a false wall to try to economize on the number of lamps, but in the end, we managed to film without shortening the set because, well, we wanted to take advantage of its length and make it look as if it carried on for a long distance. In fact, we cheated the length of it. In a sense, I suggested that we put Jude Law for these close shots at one end of the hut to be able to have the full length behind him. And then when we do a reverse shot, he's halfway down the hut looking the other way with a lot more depth than there was in reality behind him.
I've been trained by the very best.
So have I, my friend. So have I. Where are you planning to have lunch?
I'm new here. I have no plans for lunch.
May I suggest the Chinese restaurant in the forest? Everyone knows where it is. Just ask.
Well, won't you be going there too?
Unfortunately, I have other plans for lunch, but I do suggest you order the special and don't take no for answer.
All right, I'll do that.
Larry!
Yes?
Need this in the back room, they asked for you.
I saw you make contact, Larry Ashen. What did the guy on the assembly line say to you?
Can you believe the game version of your pod? It's sick. so unconvincing. I mean, using mutated animal organs and nervous systems as game pod parts is certainly feasible, but everything here is so dirty, absurd, grotesque.
I saw you make contact, Larry Ashen. What did the guy in the assembly line say to you?
He told me where to have lunch.
This shot is quite an interesting one because, in fact, the house at the far end that we're looking at now, the Chinese restaurant, wasn't in fact where it looks as though it is in the shot. We used a motion control camera in two different places because the two locations, the two buildings, were not next to each other. They were 50 miles apart. We dolly alongside the hut with the actors, and in the background we had a large blue screen against which the actors walked into the distance. And then we took the motion control camera to the distant location and did the same move with extras in front of the Chinese restaurant, so-called. We did the same camera move, which had been recorded on a computer. And then the two shots were combined in post-production, making it look as though the two buildings were close to each other.
It's for special occasions. I cannot give you the special.
And here we are inside the Chinese restaurant.
A special occasion.
And one of the star features of this scene is the food, which revolts everybody around them. Always difficult to make food look repellent. And it's always very difficult to convey the sense of hot and cold in a film because the audience is not experiencing that sensation. The food was made up of gelatin and vegetable matter in the form of strange creatures, which Jude Law had to consume with great bravery and did spend half a day eating.
Yeah, sure. But why? What's wrong? I mean, aren't you dying to see what's so special about the special?
I'm feeling a little disconnected from my real life. Kind of losing touch with the texture of it, you know what I mean? I mean, I actually think there's an element of psychosis involved here.
Yes. This is a great sign. It means your nervous system is fully engaging with the game architecture.
Existence is paused!
Did I do that? I guess I did.
So how does it feel?
What?
Your real life, the one you came back for.
It feels completely unreal.
You're stuck now, aren't you? You want to go back to the Chinese restaurant, because there's nothing happening here. We're safe. It's boring.
It's worse than that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure here, where we are, is real at all. This feels like a game to me. And you're beginning to feel a bit like a game character.
Definitely not.
Special order for the birthday girl. Hope you enjoy it very much.
And here's the strange food which he has to eat. Food in the form of the creatures which they were handling in the trout farm factory.
Mutant reptiles and amphibians provide new and previously unimagined taste sensations. Shall I clear all this away?
No. We're happy.
Very good. Enjoy.
Michael, what are you doing?
I don't know. I find this disgusting.
A little later in this scene, you'll see the Chinese waiter is attacked by our two main characters. And the special effects department had to construct a mask for him, which would match his face sufficiently but leave enough space behind it for very small explosives to explode his flesh. And the colors had to be matched, the color of the mask to hit the color of the makeup that was on his face in the scenes which he plays with his real face. I think we succeeded. I think you'll agree. Coming up is a shot in which Jude Law extracts the bullet from his mouth, the bullet that will, there's in fact a tooth that gets loaded into the gun. It's one of the few shots in the movie that's not filmed on the 27mm lens, the requirement of the shot being that we be very close to the tooth when he pulls it out of his mouth. So we broke our rule and used 100mm lens for that shot. It's coming up pretty soon. Here it is. And we cut back to it here. The 27mm lens would never have given us such a close image on the tooth as he holds it in front of him.
Do you have that bridge in real life?
Absolutely not. My teeth are perfect.
The dog in the scene was a very special and charming problem of its own. Huge dog, completely untrainable, not very intelligent, very docile.
Death.
And with a very strong smell. Doggy smell.
That's not funny.
Sorry.
So in the shots where the camera's on the ground level with the dog, I had to hold my breath. Sometimes I was working very close to the dog.
I need to kill our waiter.
And coming up now, you'll see the scene in which the waiter is attacked.
Well, that makes sense. Waiter! Waiter! When he comes over, do it. Don't hesitate.
Everything in the game.
The moment in which we use the mask for the waiter is very brief, so you don't really get a chance to examine the mask closely. It all passes very rapidly.
Not a big factor in this little world of ours.
It's like real life. There's just enough to make it interesting.
He's too nice. I won't do it.
What can I do to make your lunch more pleasant?
I found this in my soup, and I'm very upset.
This is it.
A little misunderstanding over the check. Pay no attention and enjoy your meal. I feel a serious game urge to get out of here.
Through the kitchen, that way.
Did you like the meal I prepared for you?
Yeah.
I'm sure that David Cronenberg and Jim Isaacs will have more to say about this upcoming shot here than I will. The close-up is with the director's hand in it, the close-up that's coming up, and the creature that looks like a real live creature is a mechanical one, I assure you. Only mechanical creatures were treated with cruelty in this film.
Us. Come, this way. Come. These are the breeding pools. Breeding pools.
Is this where you caught today's special?
Most scenes in David Cronenberg's films take place at night or inside. Or inside at night, so a day exterior is quite rare. It gave us all a chance to breathe and take some daylight and sun in after weeks in the studio or many nights outside.
Weapons, right under the noses of our enemies. And speaking of our enemies, it's important that you go back to work at Cortical Systematics.
It's something the viewer I'm sure he doesn't really appreciate. But when you film for weeks on end at night, living an upside-down life, as it's sometimes the case in some movies, it's always a relief to film outside during the day.
We love you. Now that you have proven to be true and trustworthy realists, we'll be in touch.
I'm looking for Darcy Nader. Is he here?
Hugo Carlyle. Is Darcy Nader here?
He's in the back.
You want him?
There he is.
You shouldn't have killed the Chinese widow.
And here we are back in the small back room again. The windows have changed to a green glow.
Damn good man.
No logic in it at all, I assure you, but just an instinct, a color instinct, and a wish to vary things.
She seemed to know exactly who we were. That's because Nader tipped him off that you were coming. Nader...
It was something I used once. It was an idea I used once in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We had a scene with a set in which we had very little money to. The whole film was done on a shoestring. And I decided to vary the look of the set by changing the colors. And somehow I dragged it up out of the subconscious for the scenes in the small back room in this film.
But now you're going to put a stop to him.
I don't want to be here.
Come on, Tycho. You just got a bad case of first-time user anxiety.
I don't like it here. I don't know what's going on. We're both stumbling around together in this unformed world whose rules and objectives are largely unknown, seemingly indecipherable, or even possibly non-existent. Always on the verge of being killed by forces that we don't understand.
That sounds like my game, all right.
It sounds like a game. It's not going to be easy to market.
But it's a game everybody's already playing. The cashier said it would be in a familiar place.
Is there such a thing here?
My assembly bay.
Is that it over there? God, it's ugly even for a game pod.
I had a terrible urge to pour it into it.
Yeah. Desperate to pour into it.
All right, here we go. You want to give me a hand?
You're not serious. I mean, that's a diseased pod. You poured into that?
Yes.
Exactly. Help me.
How long does it take for the infection to take hold?
No time at all.
And then you quietly pour it into all the other pods and spread the infection to them.
Oh, God.
What's happening?
Something's wrong.
I'm gonna put you now.
Ah, oh, God, don't. That really hurts.
I'm gonna cut you free.
I don't know what else to do.
I know what to do. I know exactly what to do. Death to realism! Burn! Burn to this spot!
In this scene, the spores falling down on the actors are partially real, and in some instances they are computer generated afterwards.
Spores? No!
Just lost the game. Or maybe not. Allegro, we're back home. We're back home.
Michael.
What's the matter? What's wrong?
It's here. It's happened. It's come back here with us. We brought it back from existence.
Brought what back? I can't understand what you're saying.
We brought the disease back with us. My pod is diseased. Oh, God. I'm really gonna lose it. I'm gonna lose my game. Import me. Come on, import me.
All right.
Okay. I'm coming.
This can't be possible. How can a game event emerge into real life?
There's a very weird reality bleed-through effect happening here. I'm not sure I get it. Come on.
What's in the needle?
The sporicide. Pods are susceptible to spore infections. It can work if you get it in time. Come on. Let me see your bioport.
What?
Let me see it.
What?
I know what happened. It's Kerry Vinegar, that bastard.
Vinegar?
He gave you a new bioport, didn't he?
Oh, God.
human infected bioport so that my pod would die and so would my game system.
I'm infected? Wait a minute.
The poor thing was trying to tell us that it was sick by introducing the theme of disease into the game.
The theme of disease? I'm fucking really infected! What is it gonna crawl up my spine and rot my brain?
All right, just calm down. I've got something that will help you. Turn around. I'm gonna seal up your bioport with this sporicidal resonator. It uses the MB pickups for power. It should cleanse all your porting channels of infection within a few hours. It's gonna give you a slight skin buzz when it's done. Of course, we can't play until then.
Great. Now, listen. Listen. This could be critical. Were you really saying that Vinokur is an agent for
oh,
the...
Oh, God. Michael, my pod's dying. I can't help it. There's nothing I can do for it.
The uprising has begun! The world is in flames! Let's go! You gotta get out of here! They're gonna be looking for you!
The cashier? He's a game character. How can he be here?
Leave that rotting piece of meat here! It's not his job!
Wait. I keep my game inside there! I can't let my game die! No! Wait!
I think we're still inside the game. I think your pod's out there somewhere, somewhere safe. I think it's all right to let go of this one. This pod, it's not the real one. Everybody out, now! This way, come on! Follow me! Come on! Fire. Up here!
This scene had some practical difficulties attached to it. The location was a very steep one. It was a ski slope, a practice ski slope in reality, which when we scouted it in wintertime, we had to scout it on skidoos, clinging on for dear life. It's something that you can't really tell, appreciate looking at the images here. But we were all standing with one leg shorter than the other to balance on the hill. And that meant that all the lighting rigs had to be towed up by huge four-wheel drive vehicles or pulleys. And as we were going to see a long way, like in that shot there, the vista is actually very large, and it's hundreds of square yards of scenery, which I had to light. So we had to think very carefully about how to light this scene, because we knew in advance that we were not able to move the lamps once they were in position on cranes, in position or on towers. So we stationed three or four large cranes with lamps on them in positions which we thought would not enter the shots. Or if they did, we tried to disguise the base of the cranes with trees and bushes.
Your pod's entire nervous system during our little surgical procedure at the chalet, complete with contents.
I was also anxious about the countryside looking lit and artificial, as is often the case when you try to photograph at night a countryside scene with no obvious sources of light. So I spoke with David Cronenberg and with the special effects supervisor about providing fire and explosions and any kind of light-generating effect that would tend to mitigate the artificially lit look that I thought might might result if we didn't introduce those elements of fire and explosion. And as it happens, obviously, it suits the scene. The scene called for explosions and fire.
The fuck are you doing? You've killed him.
Are you gonna kill me next?
Michael, he was only a game character. I didn't like the way he was messing with my mind.
You didn't like that, so you killed him.
He's only a game character.
Allegra. What if we're not in the game anymore?
If we're not.
If we're not, then you just killed someone real. It was no accident that you and I ended up on the run together.
Not an accident.
No.
That's why you never had a bioport. You were one of them.
I still am one of them.
But you have a bioport now.
I made the bioport sacrifice to get close to you.
Why would you want to do that?
To understand what I have to kill.
And understand this. Understand I knew that you were my real assassin when you pointed the gun at me in the Chinese restaurant. And understand that you're dead. Death to the demon, Ted Michael! Ah! Have I won? Have I won the game? Have I won?
And here we find ourselves back in the same set that opened the movie, except that the set has been repainted. The textures and colors are different to the way it first appeared. And I wanted to light it in a slightly different way so it wouldn't look quite the same. I used a very simple lighting approach in this scene.
Yes, I have some. If you make sure there's some mutated amphibian nervous systems in the rice. You know, my accent in the game was so thick I could hardly.
And one doesn't often have to shoot a scene in which there are so many characters who talk to each other. So we ended up filming a close-up and a two-shot on each character and pair of characters. We shot a lot of material for this scene.
I made my head spin. Maybe there was too many, too fast to absorb. I sucked. But you
we
guys
probably ran the whole scene on each character in close-up, and a two-shot for most of the scene on each pair of characters.
I was really bummed out at first. I got knocked out of the game so soon.
It was fantastic how mean you were. Really scary and crazy. You know, I had a lot to do in that first scene at the church, but thought the character was boring.
Well, no matter how boring you were, you still all get a certificate. A certificate for helping us out here, and am I right about this, Merle, I think?
Yes, and that will entitle you to reserve one of the first batch of the Transcendence by Pilgrimage game modules to hit the market at a seriously discounted price. You're gonna love it. Remember, it's written like this, capital C, capital Z, Transcendence. It's new, it's from Pilgrimage, capital P, capital I, and it's coming soon.
Oh, I just want to say thank you to Mr. Nourish for giving me the chance to play the role of a star designer. I guess the game picked up on my ambition to be like you.
Allegra. You were so good in that role that I suspect it won't be long before Pilgrimage is after you to sign a designing contract. And maybe you should bring along your friend Ted here, Mr. Peichel.
We sometimes use more than one camera, but we sometimes use more than one camera, but really very rarely. We have never shot dialogue scenes with two cameras because both Dave and I feel that it becomes difficult to get the looks of the characters accurate, close enough to camera, for cutting reasons and for power of performance. So we don't shoot dialogue scenes with two cameras as a rule, but sometimes special effects shots, explosions and fire, naturally we did use multiple cameras, sometimes three or four cameras, as many as four probably on some occasions when the characters were shot in the night exterior scene that precedes this scene.
What do you mean?
It had a very strong, very real anti-game theme.
But to shoot this kind of moment with two cameras, it's possible to do it, but in order to avoid seeing the other camera, it means that the second both cameras have to be rather far away from the two characters talking to each other, and then the result is that what we call the look, the direction of their eyes, is far away from camera, and not a very powerful result, so we avoid doing that.
For looking after my dog. Hi. We just wanted to ask Mr. Nourish some questions away from the others.
Yeah.
Sure. Shoot. As long as you don't ask me to fill in your questionnaires.
We decided not to use any distinguishing technique that would signal to the audience whether the action taking place on the screen was in reality or in the game. We decided to leave the audience to guess as to whether they were watching a game scene or a real scene. It would have been, we thought, perhaps too simplistic an approach to signal it in a clear way with a change of color or a change of technique of any kind.
Of reality?
I don't think this is very... Oh. Guys, can you come over here right now, please?
Film that you're about to see was slightly changed in cutting. Here come our two main characters, and you don't know whether they're going to kill the Chinese waiter again or not, and the film ends here. Whereas in fact we did shoot them firing, but David preferred the ambiguous ending that leaves the viewer guessing. The camera was protected by a sheet of protective transparent material because they fired the guns right at the camera, but in effect he never used that part of the take. David's schedules are very carefully worked out. He's very good at working out how long he believes the shooting should take. There's always a balancing act involved. How much money have we got to shoot? Often, one could say that his type of movie usually should be shot in a shorter time span because they're not obviously commercial movies, but he likes to have enough time to shoot comfortably. We shoot many hours in the day, but we've never shot less than 11 or 12 weeks to my memory, and we've very rarely gone over schedule, so his scheduling is very accurate. And his manner of shooting is, I would say, in general terms, I would call it rather classical. Nothing odd or unusual about it at all. Just concentrating on the actors and the text and the best way of doing things. We never use storyboards. Both he and I feel that storyboards are an inhibiting factor, although on other movies I've often shot with directors who like storyboards, particularly storyboards of action scenes or special effects scenes. I feel that in those cases they're very useful because you can then discuss with the special effects people and the stunt coordinators, you can discuss each shot. On the other hand, I find that if one storyboards a whole film, it's very difficult to lose the images of the storyboards, and they can become inhibiting of one's creativity, as it may not always be the best way to shoot the film. Nobody could convince me that the storyboard artist can necessarily find the best way of cutting and setting up the camera before seeing all the elements. One needs to see the actors in the sets and see the scene played in order to decide where the cuts should really come and where the camera should really be placed. So what we do on David's films is to play the rehearse the scene and then discuss how best to shoot it, rather than to follow a preconceived plan. We both have enough experience to know that we can make a scene work without having to draw it up shot by shot beforehand. And I think that one should really be open to the chance of a location, the chance thing that a combination of actors will bring you, rather than impose every last detail on the actors and on the film itself.